OYOTU.com.
Sign Language with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 149 of Sign Language. Sorry for the extended break, but there's an interesting little development in my life that has really intrigued me, and I think, well, hope will be of interest to the people listening to this podcast. But before I get to that, I got another email from Rob Bettler, and he's done his best to curtail the length of his essays. So this is called Augmenting the Limits of Reality, and a very interesting piece, Rob. Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I don't like traffic noise. What if we could filter out loud noises on the fly? What if we could avoid being assaulted by noise every time we leave our house? For example, filtering out loud, annoying sirens. Well, the company Doppler Labs has successfully developed and founded a product that can do just that and much more. The product in question doesn't look like much. They're two rather dorky earbuds without cables that modify live sound with zero latency, and the available effects are flange, reverb, echo fuzz, or bit crush. The company, in this short video, and the link will be in the show notes, makes no bones about wanting people to wear their product all day. Please watch it if you have the time.
Which I did.
Granted, the effects are too basic if we compare them to what a garden variety DAW can easily do. So from the standpoint of a snooty audio engineer, I'm looking at you, SOS Mag.
Not sure what Rob's issue is with sound on sound, but anyway, I quite enjoy sound on sound. Not that I read it all the time, but anyway, moving on.
The Doppler Labs earbuds leave much to be desired. Please read this in a snotty British accent.
The Doppler Labs earbuds leave much to be desired.
But if we leave the snotty audiophile point of view aside, and we are brutally honest, the audiophile market is not a money-printing machine. It is a prestige-building marketing strategy at best. Just look at Samsung phones. They make way more money than all Rode mics combined. We also need to be brutally honest and see the Doppler Labs product for what it really is, a product for the wider market, and that is what makes them interesting. Why? Think about the implications of people correcting audio on the fly for more than 4 hours. Think about a second generation of the product that can go for a whole day. It would possibly replace headphones if they get the right partnerships, as well as perhaps protecting people from loud noises that usually go unfiltered. Granted, it could also go the other way, since it's usually the teenage user that takes care of making themselves deaf. However, this quest to improve audio works on the tacit implication that our ears are naturally boring. These guys at Doppler Labs are saying in a glorified way, hey, buy our augmented audio because audio reality sucks. I do not entirely blame them. Porn works on a similar principle. I, however, remain unconvinced reality needs to be constantly improved. Why? Simple. You become spoiled and dependent. Let me explain. If you always watch Netflix, the day your internet fails, you get all angsty and experience withdrawal. I almost did not survive. By the same token, if you always have augmented audio coming in, the day your product fails, you'll find normal audio boring and experience withdrawal because, whether we like it or not, when technology fails, we all eventually default to reality. The second reason I have to find augmented audio less than convincing is the removal of contrast. For example, if we went to the movies every day, we'd eventually remove the contrast that makes the smell of popcorn, the lights, and the sound so characteristic and relevant. If done daily, movies would become routine. By the same token, using augmented audio daily would remove the contrast of audio experiences that we find so different and interesting because we are not exposed to them daily. Life is far more interesting with contrast interrupting routine, not pure routine. No, I'm not a neo-Luddite. I just find that an experience is best enjoyed if it's done seldom and via a ritual, just like going to a new restaurant, a new place, a new country. the metaphor I can give you is that our sensory experiences should be as varied as our omnivorous diets. Eat your heart out, vegans. Carnivorous pun intended. But for the sake of argument, let's say that in 2 to 3 years, augmented audio goes mainstream, and Samsung buys Doppler Labs and starts shamelessly shipping those earbuds with all of their phones. The implications would be a privacy nightmare, simply because the Doppler Labs earbuds have to offload the audio processing into the phone, so the phone has to always be listening. See where this is going? It would be just too easy to hack into it and record everything the phone is listening to. It already is to a point now in 2015. Just say, okay, Google. If your phone replies, well, there's your answer. However, the added risks and advantages of wearing the Doppler Labs product is that they are in reality glorified microphones with monitor functionality or an audio parasite to your phone. If you wear them 8 hours a day, there is 8 hours of potential hacking and privacy concerns. Just going to jump in and say, yeah, pretty valid point there, Rob. I don't use OK Google to wake my phone up. I would much rather have control over when it's listening and when it's not. On with Rob's email. Remember, 3 years is not that long. And augmented audio is not the only possible technology to, quote-unquote, augment reality. What if I told you the same could be done with video? See, if people find their normal ears boring, the same goes for their eyes. Wouldn't you love to see reality with the richness that color, Canon image processors offer? Wouldn't you like to wear lightweight glasses that could improve reality on the fly? What if you could choose from different movie atmospheres all on the fly? What if HDR finally didn't suck? I would find it very...
You've been listening to Shutter Zinc, haven't you, Rob? I'm not a fan of HDR. Well, certainly not HDR in, you know, the way most people think of it, which is that oversaturated, hyper... processed cartoony look. I think it absolutely sucks. I will say though that in the latest version of Lightroom Creative Cloud, the new HDR processing module that they've included in that does an absolutely gorgeous job of creating what I think are really nice HDR images where it doesn't look cartoony, it doesn't look over processed, it just really exemplifies everything I ever wanted from an HDR image, you know, where you can see detail into the shadows and you've retained highlight detail. It's, yeah, anyway, sorry, I'm getting off track. But I thought it was funny that you should bring up HDR for in a visual context. Okay, sorry, back to Rob's email.
What if HDR finally did not suck? I would find it very interesting to see everything at 24 Velvia-like frames per second with my choice of intensely vivid color palettes to emulate the best works of Stanley Kubrick while I'm eating KFC at my favorite strip joint. That would be a glorious bucket of chicken. Clearly, my reality is not as intellectual, but hey, the man was brilliant. Jokes aside, what if the problem of eavesdropping on augmented audio could be applied to not earbuds, but glasses that improve reality? What if it became easy for the national security agencies to just hack into what you hear and what you see? Remember, there are backdoors for all technologies that governments judge worth monitoring. And everything we hear and see in real time would be of special interest. What if they had the ability to censor or remove or reduce certain conversations from what you can hear all on the fly?
I'm just going to jump back in here, Rob, and go... conspiracy theories like this, I kind of see where you're coming from, but at the other end of the scale, 99% of humanity is not that interesting. And I really don't know that they would bother trying to listen to every citizen. You know, I'm looking at the US government here because I think they're the ones most... guilty of spying on their own people, but it's probably a worldwide phenomenon. But I just don't buy into this whole, you know, they want to listen to everything that happens from every person on the planet, because most people just aren't that interesting. But who knows? Anyway, onward and upward.
See, the difference between alarming and fascinating depends on how much paranoia we feel by the technology in question. More importantly, technically speaking, how far away are those glasses with earbuds from becoming reality? With the current speed of development, I'd say 6 years minimum. However, the problem with that is because of the reasons stated above. Augmenting audio may result in reducing the audio reality itself, and augmenting both audio and video reality would possibly become an effective governmental way to actually reduce and censor reality in the long run. Augmenting reality at the expense of surreptitiously reducing it? No thanks. I, for one, do not want my reality and my comprehension of it to be reduced, but expanded. Yep, call me a neo-Luddite or out-of-the-closet functional paranoid bitch, but time will tell if I needed to drink less coffee and quit Netflix.
Well, thank you, Rob. Interesting thoughts, as always. Yeah, I think you're a little paranoid, to be honest. I just don't buy into that, yeah, that the government wants to listen to every single thing. I mean, sure, they want to be aware of, you know, what they perceive as terrorist threats, but it's tricky. Because on one hand, I kind of lean towards the, hey, if you're not doing anything wrong, you got nothing to fear kind of camp. But then there's the quote, was it, I was going to say Abraham Lincoln. It wasn't Abraham Lincoln, but it was someone back then who said, you know, a society that's prepared to give up freedom in exchange for safety, you know the quote I'm talking about, right? Deserves neither. Yeah, I can't remember the exact quote or who it was that said it, and I'm sure someone will set me straight. So that's kind of the other end of the spectrum. I don't know. But anyway, it's a very interesting looking product. Yeah, I don't know what the battery life would be like on those things, because obviously they would have to have their own batteries in those earbuds. And these are wireless earbuds for those who haven't yet gone and watched the video. So, you know, they just plonk into your ear. Presumably they've got a small battery in each earbud, and they connect presumably via Bluetooth to an app on your phone. And from the app on your phone, you can filter in real time EQ curves and all that sort of stuff of the world around you, and have that filtered audio, you know, then played into your ears via the earbuds. So yeah, it's an interesting concept. Definitely have a look at the video. So on to what's going on in my life. As most of you would already be aware, I have in the past recorded video training titles for lynda.com. The first one I did for them was Audition 2 Essential Training, and that was back in 2006. And at the time, lynda.com was still a, you know, fledgling startup company, and at the time they were based in Ojai in California, just east of Ventura. And at the time when I went to Ojai, there was another author in town at the same time, a guy called Chad Perkins. And Chad is an After Effects guru, and he was there to record a training title for After Effects. And he and I just hit it off. We became lifelong mates within the course of a couple of hours. You know, we just clicked. And over the years, you know, we've stayed in touch, and, you know, he's always said, oh, I really want to work with you on a project someday. And I was like, yeah, man, whenever, you know, whatever, you know. And as it happens, over the last, maybe 4 or 5 years, I guess, Chad has got really interested in movie making. And, you know, I've seen, you know, some of his earlier stuff that he's shot with his wife and his kids, and they were fantastic, you know, for, you know, what started out as just home movies have grown and grown in complexity and, you know, makeup and costumes and all this kind of stuff. Anyway, he reached out to me a few months back and he said, I have been looking on the web for, just kind of hit me that maybe some of this shouldn't be discussed just yet. Anyway, long story short, Chad's made a short movie. When I say short, it's about seven and a half minutes. And quite, you know, complex with its costumes and its locations and, I don't know, probably 30 or 40 cast members, I guess. So, you know, this has grown significantly beyond just a simple home movie. And he reached out to me and he said, mate, I'm putting this movie together and I would love to have you mix the sound for it if you're interested. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Would love to do that. And he said, it's got to be in 5.1. And I was like, ooh, okay. And I was upfront with him. I said, look, I've never mixed in 5.1 before, but I'd love to give it a go. Happy to learn, happy to set up 5.1 monitoring in my studio. Yeah, so that's what I've been working on. And, you know, we've had some interesting learning experiences in this process. So I originally got the assets from Chad, I don't know, probably about 3 weeks ago now. And I said to him, I said, look, I will be working in Reaper. And he went, what's Reaper? And so I had to educate him on that. And he's had two different sound guys working on this film already. One was apparently an Emmy Award-winning sound designer who took a very long time to do very little, apparently. And then there was a second guy who was a young kid called Jake, who Chad speaks very highly of, who, and I will likewise shout Jake's praises, did some absolutely gorgeous sound design on There's a Demon, which is all CGI in the movie. And Jake did some absolutely fantastic sound design for this demon. But Jake has now been offered a job with Oculus Rift. And so he's sort of pretty busy with that, obviously. And so, yeah, so I, you know, got everything that had been done, which was, you know, the sound design that had been done had all been done in Pro Tools. Chad also recorded a live orchestra. And the guy who did the recording of the orchestra did a really nice job. He put up a 3-mic Decca-tree behind the conductor, so a left, a center, and a right. He then put up a wide pair, which are, you know, probably a couple of meters either side of the conductor. And then he put up a high pair, so, you know, probably a good 3 meters up in the air, pointed down at the overhead of the orchestra. And then he put spot mics on the various sections of the orchestra. So the entire track lay of the orchestral score is about, you know, I don't know, 10 or 11 tracks or something. Actually, no, it must be more than that. Must be more than that. I haven't actually counted, but there's a fair few there. So it's going to be an interesting process to mix the orchestra, and we'll be mixing the orchestral score in 5.1 as well. And so, yeah, so that raised the issue of how am I going to get all this stuff into Reaper with its correct time code positions and whatever. And for that, I called on a guy called Mick Rooney, who lives in the outer suburbs of Sydney, who goes by the name on the Reaper forum of Runaway. Mick developed a great piece of software, and I've probably spoken about this in the past, called AA Translator. And that name comes from AA being Adobe Audition. And the story behind it is that Mick runs a little project studio, and he runs on Adobe Audition. And what he was finding was that he was getting lots of kids coming to him with little Pro Tools projects on hard drives, and they wanted to work with those and augment what was already recorded on those projects at his studio where he was working in Audition. And Mick, by trade, is a software developer. So what he did was he reverse engineered the Adobe Audition multi-track session file format, and then did the same with the Pro Tools multi-track format, and built this program called AA Translator, which would allow him to bring a Pro Tools session, convert it into an Audition session file, and he could then record, you know, the band along with whatever pre-production they'd done in Pro Tools into his Audition session, and then export it back out into a Pro Tools session so they could take it away. And over the course of time, he extended the ability and the number of file formats that AA Translator could talk to. And so now it is like this universal conversion tool, which will allow you to take a multi-track format from just about any DAW you can name and convert it into any other DAW format you can name. I cannot think of all of the DAWs that are supported, but you know, things like Logic, Cubase, Nuendo, I think Final Cut, Audition, Pro Tools, Reaper, Samplitude. There's a whole bunch, and you can go from any format to any format. So he's done an amazing job. So I reached out to Mick because Mick had already given me a copy of the software, but the copy that I had wasn't the latest version, and there were obviously some things in the Pro Tools session that Chad sent me that the earlier version that I was running of AA Translator couldn't deal with. So Mick very graciously hooked me up, and so I was able to take all of these session files that Chad was sending me of the sound design, of the dialogue, of the the orchestral score, and translate them, turn them into Reaper-friendly sessions, and then I was able to merge them all into one massive session. And of course, you know, this is where the ability to put tracks in folders inside of Reaper is an absolute godsend, because what I was able to do is set up, you know, master folders for ambiences, and then inside that create subfolders for indoor ambiences and outdoor ambiences, and then have another parent folder for sound effects and another one for, you know, orchestral score and another one for dialogue. And it's all just, you know, and I've color coded so to make navigation easier. And the current track lay is something like 154 tracks, I think. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And that's with actually that 154 tracks, that's without the orchestral score, because the orchestral score is not mixed yet. I'm keeping that separate simply because I don't need all of the rest of the stuff, you know, all the ambiences and dialogue and sound effects in the orchestral score while I'm working on the orchestral score. Once that's mixed, I'll export that as a 5.1 mix and drop that into its own track in the master project along with the rest of the movie. So, yeah, so it's been an interesting learning curve. I've had to, you know, obviously learn about routing for 5.1, both inside the DAW and with regards my audio hardware. My M-Audio Fast-Track Ultra 8R is going to at least get to use 6 of its outputs instead of the 2 that it normally uses. Obviously, I've had to find extra speakers, and I had a little windfall on that front, but I'm not allowed to talk about it. But I ended up with a beautiful set of Tannoy speakers free of charge, which was rather fortuitous. So yeah, so I've been soldering interconnect cables to wire up all of my 5.1 monitoring, and I may get to that this weekend. I'm still about 3 weeks away from starting the final mix of this movie. Chad and I are still sort of to-ing and fro-ing over a couple of ambiences and sound effects, but generally he's been extremely happy with everything that I've done. And yeah, and it's just been a great learning process. I've really, really enjoyed it, and am still enjoying it. And I think, you know, I mean, at the moment all I've done is, you know, laid in ambiences and spot sound effects and done a little bit of Foley recording, and I haven't really started the mixing process. You know, I can't really start that until I get the 5.1 monitoring all set up and ready to roll. But yeah, just really enjoying the experience and the process, and looking forward to, you know, getting to the final mix. I've actually booked 4 days of annual leave for the second week of October, and I'll be using those 4 days to do the final mix of the movie. I've said to Chad, this is when we're doing it. That way we've got a deadline. Yeah, you know, we've got something we can work towards. Otherwise, this project will just go on and on and on. And I don't want that. You know, I want to see a definite end point. So when it is all finished and the movie has been completed and rendered and whatever, I will get a copy from Chad and I will post it somewhere where you can watch it and whatever. So, yeah, it's been all very interesting and exciting. So anyone who's listening to this who's had experience in 5.1, love to hear your thoughts on any of this. Chad and I have been discussing about what sounds should be in what channels. I've been watching heaps of YouTube videos from different sound designers, getting their thoughts on the center channel. The prevailing philosophy seems to be keep sound effects out of the center channel if there is dialogue occurring. But in instances where there is no dialogue, then it's okay to have sound effects and things in the center channel. But generally, if there is dialogue, you keep all your dialogue in your center channel, keep your sound effects to your front, left, and right, and obviously the surround channels if it's warranted, and the LFE if it's warranted. So it's a lot of fun and lots of learning. And it's really kind of caught me off guard in a way. I said to Kath, you know, I didn't realize just how long I've been coasting along doing what I do for a living, you know, which is making radio commercials, mixing in, you know, stereo. I didn't realize how long it had been since I really got my teeth into learning something new about audio. And this has been a real eye-opening experience and an ear-opening experience. And it's given me the same kind of buzz that I felt the first time I saw audio recorded and edited on a computer. It was like someone had just introduced me to a, you know, whole new planet. And I kind of feel like that all over again, which is great. So anyway, so that's the current adventures in my life. And I will keep you apprised of how that project is going. It's probably going to be another month at least before I get another episode of this out the door, because I think the next 3 weeks will be fairly intense working on Chad's movie. And yeah, I'll keep you in the loop as best as I can. Any feedback, questions, comments, please drop me an email, studio@audiotou.com. And until I speak with you next, take care.
Sign Language.
Another audiotou.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out
signlanguagepodcast.com.
Or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email studio@audiotou.com.